welcome to the Last Damn Word from the review team at The Beaver.
We are coming to you each month with the good, the bad, and the ugly of arts and culture.
We will be ranting or raving, discussing what we've been loving, and what's the buzz at LSE and beyond.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Amber.
I'm Molly.
Welcome to February.
Welcome to the second ever episode of the Last Damn Word from The Beaver. Today we'll be ranting, raving and telling you a bit about what is happening at LSE.
Before we get started though, I just want to jump in and say that in our first ever episode, I might have referred to to 1917 as a World War II film. It is not a World War II film. I know this. I'm a history student. I'm sorry. Let's move on.
Title gives it away, right?
It does.
So, Zara, what are we going to be doing today? Are you ranting or are you raving?
We are ranting. No, raving. Raving.
Raving, you sure? What film? Raving. What film are we going to rave about?
We're raving about Parasite.
Okay, so you have 1 minute. Go.
Parasite was released earlier this month in the UK. It's just won a couple of Oscars, really cool, done by Bong Joon-ho. It's set in modern-day South Korea. It's about class and all this other stuff, and it's a thriller, and I thought it would be scary, but it wasn't as scary as I thought, and I'm really glad about that because I have nightmares. And it's, like, genuinely one of the most unique things I've ever seen in such a long time. I watched it a week ago now, and every time it pops into my head, my mind still gets blown. It's like this brilliant afterglow that will never really fade. Like, I love it so much. It's incredible. Like, I feel so privileged to exist in a time where I get to watch a film like that. And that's such a rare thing to say, and it's such a brilliant, like, it's such an honour to be around while it's around. And I think that's really great.
Wow, you've kept to your 1 minute.
Four seconds spare.
I think it's so interesting what you say, though, because I feel like Parasite, I feel like we're so used to your typical Hollywood films, and I feel like Parasite was such a breath of fresh air. And I mean, to have it win, like, 4 Oscars was just incredible. And the approach he takes is just so innovative, and it was just ridiculously funny as well in some points.
So good, so good. I think this is something that, I mean, if anyone's spoken to me about film recently at all, one of my biggest gripes is that, like, I think we're really stuck in a creative rut. We're not coming up with new stuff. Everything's a remake. Some of the loveliest things in the world, Little Women, for example, it's still a remake. Like, this isn't new content. We're doing cool things, sure, but we're doing them from recycled stories and recycled narratives. That was something I'd never seen before. And it was, like, that's what made it even more special.
Yeah, and what he said at the Golden Globes in, like, his acceptance speech, he said, once you get over the 2-centimetre barrier of subtitles, you'll experience a whole world of international films that will just open your mind. And
so
I thought that was such an important message. Because even with, like, foreign language films, they do not get the recognition they deserve. And when was the last time you see a foreign language film in the Best Picture category? Like, you just don't. They're just always segregated in award season. And I think it was a really important film. And it's set a stand, hasn't it, for ones that
absolutely
such a good precedent. It's such an American thing as well.
It is, it really is.
And because the Academy is such a traditionally American, like, hegemonic institution, it's really incredible that they won so many awards.
Yeah,
I think it's actually about to start something else, like, within, like, society, because I went to watch it with my aunt, and she came from work, and someone at her work just turned to her and went, like, I didn't know you spoke Korean. And it's like, oh, for God's sake, grow up. Like, we need to kind of get over, like, stupid shit like that and just be able to experience some of the best art that is around. And honestly, if the fact that it's a foreign film is stopping you from going to watch it, you don't deserve to see it.
Yeah.
That's my take. You know,
I always, like, question as well to what extent the Academy, like, does it on purpose? Because they've had, like, so many criticisms of, like, no diversity.
Yeah.
And Parasite didn't win Best Pictures at the BAFTAs. It was 1917. And then it's like, oh, yeah, it sweeps the floor. And now the Oscars can be, the Academy can be like,
and rest on their laurels.
We're so diverse.
Yeah.
We're so diverse. And, like, even last year and the year before, with, like, Roma, which was a Latin American director.
Moonlight.
Shape of Water, Latin American director, which didn't do as well in the BAFTAs. So it's like, the Academy is just so political, and I think they do this, like, to their advantage to a certain extent. I'm not saying that Parasite doesn't warrant the praise it got.
To be fair, one thing that I do want to say, though, is after seeing that, and I saw that after the Oscars happened, I went, there's no way that any other film could have won Best Film. Like,
yeah.
Wow. Molly, you haven't seen it.
No, I've not. I feel like I was outside this conversation. No.
No, you have to. Molly, what have you been loving this month?
Well, this month I've really got into... I'm a big podcast listener, and I'm really into just vaguely contemporary ones, but I've really discovered, more so this month, BBC's online... kind of like they've digitized all of their backlog of their major shows in podcast form, so like iTunes, Spotify, and it's amazing. I really love Desert Island Discs, which I know does make me seem a little bit like I'm 45, but it's an incredible show. Like, the premise is, so if you've not heard of it before, it's a celebrity, and they're not just celebrities actually, there's kind of like scientists and like writers and stuff. It's quite broad. They're interviewed on like the 7 tracks they would take with them to a desert island, and then they get a luxury as well at the end, and it's just a really amazing insight into these people's lives and their likes and dislikes. So like, some of my favorites have been Rupert Everett and Ian Wright in the most recent series. Ooh. Rupert Everett, of course, was incredible. He was also the first guest to ever say shag on the show. Ooh. So I know, scandalizing Radio 4 listeners. And Lynn Barber's as well, from a few years ago when it was still with Kirsty Young, who has the most beautiful Scottish accent, but obviously it's now Lauren Laverne. And also George Clooney's one in like the 90s with Sue Lawley, who was this older lady, and she was so flirty with him. You could almost like hear her like touching his arm, and she was like, so George, what about you, giggling. Incredible.
Who wouldn't be so flirty with
in the 90s as well. I know.
Like, oh my god.
But I think the BBC's online archive of their shows as podcasts is so great to listen to. There's also In Our Time and Great Lives and Woman's Hour, and I feel it's just really fun to like go back through. It says so much about kind of like our like sensibility and what people choose, and it's a really great resource. So
it sounds like something I'd definitely be interested in. One of my favorite podcasts is, as anyone who knows me knows, the Off Menu podcast.
Love it.
And that's just like people going on, mainly comedians going on to speak to James Acaster and Ed Gamble, and they chat about their their dream meal. And I think that Desert Island Discs is like a very similar thing, and it's definitely something I'd be so interested to now that we've got like a backlog of them as well. I mean what I'm going to do right after we stop recording is go and listen to the George Clooney one.
Oh, nice, nostalgia, you know?
Yeah.
Olden day George Clooney.
But you're so right, it's about those like, I mean, the traditional celebrity interview, I feel now, is so exhausted. Like, you can't get anything from it. It's all kind of like PR focused. So I feel like weighs in, like sensory weighs in through like music and food. It's so telling and interesting.
Yeah.
And it's such a cool way. And also the luxuries are so funny, what people choose. It's been running since 1942.
Whoa.
So there's a real...
Oh my God.
Extensive, I know, and the first guy who did it, Roy Plomley, he's this very august old man. And those are on Spotify as well now. Like, they've digitized those.
I might have to go way back.
Really? Cool. Start from the beginning.
Yeah.
But yeah, some of the best ones. Arthur Scargill, who is obviously the leader of the National Union of Miners, very big. I chose the Mona Lisa as his luxury.
Wow. Interesting.
There was also the soprano Elizabeth Schwarzkopf, who was a very famous opera singer in the 50s, who chose all her own songs.
Oh, good.
For the seven tracks.
Nice. Yeah. Same.
Whereas P.L. Travers, the writer of Mary Poppins, chose no music at all. She just chose spoken word tracks.
Oh.
And Jamie Oliver didn't choose to bring a book because he said he's never finished one in his life.
Wow.
So yeah, it's great, and there are so many shows from the BBC. There's like Woman's Hour podcast, which is still running now. There's In Our Time, which is experts on different philosophical times, historical times, come in and chat. There's Great Lives, when a celebrity talks about like a great life, like a kind of biographical stuff, and they chat about it. Sarah Pascoe's one on Virginia Woolf is incredible in that series. Amber, moving on, what's the buzz for the current month? What's coming up that we can look forward to?
So what I'm really looking forward to this month is a bit of theatre.
Oh yeah.
One of my favourite plays actually is a Henrik Ibsen play called A Doll's House. And I actually remember studying it back when I was in sick form.
Yep.
I absolutely fell in love with it. It's basically about family dynamics in a very oppressive society for women. And it's such an interesting play. It takes place literally in one scene. There's probably about 4 characters in the whole production. But what makes the play so interesting is the context it was set in. So Henrik Ibsen made basically, I don't want to give away too many spoilers, but I might have to. The ending of the play ends with the woman actually leaving the house and abandoning her children in search of a better life and for greater freedom and opportunity.
Yeah.
And actually at the time he had to write an alternative ending in which she remains in the house and like pleads her husband for forgiveness and, you know, very...
That's so funny.
Very impressive. Wow. And I think there's one coming out in March at the Young Vic.
Yeah.
And I will be really interested to see what approach they take, because Henrik Ibsen has created some really important female protagonists. He's got Nora from A Doll's House, he's done Hedda Gabler, who is also like very similar to Nora in the sense that she looks for this female sense of independence and autonomy. And there's, along with the one at the Young Vic, there's also the Jessica Chastain one that's coming to the Playhouse, where at the moment Sirano de Bergerac is playing and Emilia Clarke's going to be there with The Seagull.
Yeah.
So it's part of Jamie Lloyd Webber's 3-course theatre production. And it'll be interesting to see, because they'll happen... So the one in the Young Vic is coming out in March and the Playhouse one is coming out in June. So it'll be interesting to see the approach these two plays take.
I'm thinking that we can expect a kind of side-by-side review from
you. Oh, yeah, of course, definitely. You've got to keep your eyes out for that one. And, you know, because there's been so many adaptations of theatre productions, and I think, especially for playwrights, it's always important to keep it fresh and new.
Yeah.
And even things like changing the ending, thinking about the context it's set in.
Yeah.
I think it's a very interesting play.
And that's such a cool... I wonder if they planned it, that those two productions were going to happen in tandem.
I was thinking about really that as well, because can you imagine the competition those two are going to have? Like, you're more likely to choose probably a Jessica Chastain one over the other one.
But then the tickets might be sold out, so...
And they'll be more expensive.
Exactly. No, I think that's so cool. And I think that the way that plays work is that you do have to kind of recycle content a lot of the time, and then the question does become like, what are you bringing to it, what is this production bringing to it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the loveliest things about theatre.
Yeah, and you're so right, like with Ibsen, like, so, and like Chekhov, like the new Three Sisters adaptation that's coming to the National. Like, I think there have been so many versions of these plays now. It's not like the technical skill you can execute it with, it's about the interpretation and what you bring to these words, which is why it's such a great time to be in London and it be is. Around the theatre scene here. It's
and
a great
be
incredible.
A student with your student discount.
Yeah.
Okay, so in terms of what's coming up at LSE, we've got a couple of shout outs. The Drama Society is doing their final production of the year, and they are doing Sister Act, their musical, and that's happening on the 18th, 19th and 20th of March.
Also, ACS, LSE, are doing their Ablaze dance show on the 13th of March, which has got acting, singing, dancing, spoken word and so much more, according to promotional material. So that all like two really incredible things that are happening on our doorstep, on campus.
Make sure you get involved. Definitely. Check it out. We are more than just a bunch of nerds in a building. We do art sometimes. It's great.
So this has been our roundup for February. We've been the review team from The Beaver. If you'd like to get involved or submit reviews or see how we do things, feel free to get in touch with us. And we'll see you in March for our next episode.
We will.
See you later.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening. We really hope you enjoyed this episode.
This has been The Last Damn Word on February.
The wonderful music has been by Ashley Leo Marzing. We've been Amber, Molly and Zara.
See you next month for our hot takes on March.
Bye.